Good morning, this is Joel Hodson.
Joan Rafe. Bill Corbett.
Baron Vaughn. Trace Blue.
Bridget Nelson.
Hampton Young.
Mary Jo Peel.
Rebecca Hansen from Mystery Science Theater 3000. And you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Good morning, it's Too Much Scrolling for Friday, April 14th, 2017. This is an extra scrolling with extra special group. Steve, I'm Chip Hessenflow.
I'm Steve Fodor.
And here we are with a whole group of people to talk about Mystery Science Theater 3000 on Netflix.
Season 11 has dropped on Netflix. If you're just waking up right now, a whole new world is in front of you. You've got 14 episodes of new MST3K, brand new 21st century technology, and you have it at your fingertips on Netflix. We've gathered a whole panel of experts to talk about it today. We'll start here next to me is Michael Albright from Down in Front. How's it going, Michael?
It's going very well.
Great to see you.
Good to see you guys.
Do you like Mystery Science Theater 3000, Michael?
It's all right.
Somebody sets up the Mystery Science Theater 3000 group here in Chicago and is the leader of that. And I guess that would be Michael Albright.
That would be me.
Michael Albright, the leader of us all.
Organizer. Let's call it an organizer.
Organizer. Come with us. We're going to watch some bad movies.
Leader has maybe a little more weight than I like.
And we also have on the line
Courtney Adouette. And I'm just going to call her a super fan.
Good morning, Courtney.
Thank you
How are you?
Having me on.
Thanks for coming in.
Great. I'm so excited.
Are you a fan of Mystery Science Theater?
I am a huge fan of Mystery Science Theater.
Good. Then you are in the right place.
Perfect.
And finally, we have Julie Stabbard, also from Down in Front.
Good morning,
great
Julie.
Great to be here.
Oh,
hey.
Great to have you. Thank you so much for coming in to have our wonderful, I hope, panel discussion of the first episode of Mystery Science Theater. Let's start from the beginning. Let's answer some of Chip's questions.
All right. So let's, for all of us who are not familiar with Mystery Science Theater on this Good Friday, let's just ask first, what is Mystery Science Theater 3000?
I have answered this question for you before, so I'm actually going to take a back seat on this one.
Oh. Julie, would you like to field the first question?
Well, I guess I would have to clarify. Do you mean what is Mystery Science Theater 3000 in general, or what is it to me?
Oh.
We're going to say in general. We'll get to you shortly.
Okay.
But for a person who's never been familiar with the show as it originally was presented, tell us a little bit about what it is.
So it is essentially a bunch of comedians in a dark, dark room that sit around and watch the same bad movie over and over and over again so that they can come up with the funniest tidbits with which to titillate an audience.
Yes.
I've never heard it.
Tell us more.
This is the best show we've ever done.
But then if you also want to put on top of it the, you know, kind of plot of the lone janitor stranded on a satellite, you can do that as well. But really, essentially, it's funny people who like to make fun of movies getting together to make fun of movies.
It's sort of an ensemble group, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Wonderful. And what about the history of the show? Where did it start? Who was the original, where did it originally air?
It was in Minneapolis, right? And wasn't it like public access? Joel Hodgson started it.
It was just
I'm not so much on the history of it. It was a
cable, local cable affiliate. But basically, yeah, they had some space, they needed to fill some programming, and Joel Hodgson created the show, came up with the idea and brought it to them.
This was back in the 80s?
Late 80s, yeah.
Okay. So at one time we had broadcast television.
I've heard of that.
And that broadcast television didn't run usually 24 hours.
And then suddenly it did, and they needed to fill that airtime.
Sure. And there's where it started. And then we had this thing called cable that started and kind of ran through all the different cities around the United States. Mm-hmm. And they were a lot of cable channels, and they also had this same interesting thing. They needed stuff to fill up space.
And that's how They Might Be Giants became very famous.
All right, so let's go ahead and start with, who does this show appeal to?
I'd like to say it appeals to anyone who either loves bad movies or just loves poking fun at them. It reminds me of people who get together with their friends and you're sitting on a couch and inadvertently somebody will poke fun at an actor or a special effect, and it's just that same kind of feel.
When we were growing up, we watched a lot of TV. At least I watched a lot of TV. And there were only four channels, and you watched whatever was on. You were kind of stuck with whatever was on at the time. And that's kind of the theme of Mystery Science Theater 3000. The host is launched into space. He's forced to watch these movies. He has no choice. And he decides that he's going to make fun of these movies in order to survive this ordeal. It's kind of what we did in the 80s.
So he doesn't get the quality of the old Tarzan movies, Lone Ranger or Daniel Boone?
No, I haven't seen any of those on Mystery Science Theater. A lot of Hercules.
A lot of Hercules. Yeah, the Italian Steve Reeves movies were, they got some mileage out of those.
So why would a person, or why would a group of people want to have the show rebooted?
Why not?
Yeah.
They're rebooting everything right now. Why not?
You are right. Everything is being rebooted or remade. Beauty and the Beast live action just came out a couple weeks ago, and there
Chips.
Is that.
Chips, of course.
Chips, yeah.
Aren't we getting Twin Peaks on Showtime?
Yes.
I heard about that.
Yes, we are.
Season 3. But they set that up many years ago, right, Steve?
And yeah. We're looking down the barrel at approximately 400 years of live-action Disney remakes.
Yes. Well, if you want to take all the Star Wars movies that are going to be made as a result of the financial success that was the 1977, there's a lot of reason to take old properties and redo them.
I also think that Netflix is part of it, because Netflix has become kind of so ubiquitous. Most people, I think, have at least access to Netflix if they don't have an account.
Whether they pay for it or not.
That it makes it much easier to, you know, show something like Mystery Science Theater that maybe had a much smaller audience, and so it's easier to grow the audience.
I'll agree with that.
And originally it was it on the Comedy Channel or was it on
Comedy Central first and then Sci-Fi? Mm-hmm.
Which Comedy Central was the Comedy Channel. They changed their name and then...
Yeah.
Okay.
It all snowballed from there.
Oh, right.
It did.
All right, so let's get down to Greek cred right here, because we want to make sure that we are talking to the experts who say they're experts, right?
Yeah. What is your geek cred, ladies? Tell me, why is it that you are the expert? Let's start with Julie. What brings you to this podcast today?
Well, first of all, Mike.
He twisted his arm.
It's all...
It was really hard to say no to Mike.
He's adorable.
One day long ago, when I was but a young girl of approximately 12 years old, I went over
Tell
to
us
my
more.
Best friend's house. Yeah. And she had cables, and I did not have cables. And I remember flipping through her channels, and I was so jealous of her cables. And then all of a sudden, it landed on this weird thing. It was obviously an old movie, and these weird little shadows in front of it. I'm like, what's this? And she hated it. But I loved it because it's my birthright. My mother talks through every movie that has ever been made.
Okay.
And so I kept going over to my best friend's house, not just because she was my best friend, but also because I could get a taste of that sweet, sweet cable. And so I started watching it then, and then kind of have continued watching it for years.
Skype broke up a little bit there.
It really appeals to me. I just love it.
So do we. We love this show. This is pretty much all I've done with Netflix for the last couple of weeks. They released the 20 classic episodes of MST3K a few weeks ago, and I think that Netflix is for MST3K right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now the next one. Go ahead and tell us why are you the expert on Mystery Science Theater 3000?
I remember watching it when I was about 10 years old. It was my mom who was watching it, and she was cracking up laughing. And I walked in and I saw these robots, and I was like, "Mom, why are you watching a kid's show?" She's like, No. Sit down and watch it with me. And we're used to watching old movies, bad movies. So she's the one who really got me into it. And I remember the first one I actually remember watching was Mitchell.
Yes!
Unfortunately.
Oh, sorry.
That's your first episode was Mitchell?
It's my favorite.
That's your favorite?
I can remember, yes.
Okay.
And it was a big deal for my mom because of the whole thing with Joel and Mike. And I was like, wow, you're really into this. And you know what? It was hilarious, even for me being, I mean, there were things that I could enjoy about it. And I just kind of grew into it. And you rewatch it as you get older and you pick up on more things and more jokes. And it's just, it's great for everyone, really.
Julie, what was your first episode?
I know that I just got very excited about Mitchell because it's my favorite of all. But I think that my first episode that I remember watching all the way through was Cave Dwellers.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
That wasn't when I was sneaking over to my best friend's house to steal her cables. That was that was much later. But it's definitely the one that I remember watching the whole episode.
What was your first episode or first experiment, as they like to call them?
Oh boy, I remember the first full one had to be season 7. I think it was or season 6 or 7. It had to be either the Eye Creatures or Night of the Blood Beast. I don't remember which one.
Wow,
specifically.
Wow, those are some tough first ones.
They are. I know for a fact that I got really into it when MTV, without any prompting, ran Alien from L.A. No prompting. They never did it again. And I didn't watch MTV, so it was a coincidence that I even found out about it.
I knew about Kathy Ireland before Alien from L.A., okay.
You sought it out, as in you saw an advertisement that it would be showing, or were you flipping through?
I flipped through. I saw it on MTV. I was already aware of the show.
Okay.
So that's why I can't really tell which one is my absolute first one. Mm-hmm. Like, I was trying, I didn't yet have my driver's license when the movie came out, and it had such a limited release that a friend of mine and I tried to go see it. We could not get that far away. So I didn't start watching it completely in earnest until I moved down to college, and my sister, who was in the same town, had like 20 or 30 episodes on tape.
Really? How about you, Steve?
All right. So here's my...
Oh, my goodness. All right, everybody, settle back.
Settle back now. Here's my confession. My Misty confession is my first episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000 is the movie. That was the first episode I ever saw.
Wow.
I never had the cables. I still don't have the cables. I didn't have access. I did not know about this program. I didn't know it existed. I was a PBS Doctor Who kind of guy. I watched Mad movies with the LA connection.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was on PBS.
Oh gosh.
And oh yeah, those were some fun riffs. But it was nothing compared to Mystery Science Theater.
I've sought those out. They don't hold up.
Oh, really?
Not very well.
Well, then I'll stick with my memories. Memories can carry us a long way.
They can.
All right, so we've talked a little bit about our favorite one. Did each of you, there was a red carpet event for those who were backers. It was kind of the secret.
Yes.
In fact, if you watch the end credits of the Netflix series, you're going to see all the lists. And my goodness, Michael was talking beforehand that like all the episodes, they've got so many people that they'll run them forever.
Yeah, they started with the A's in episode 1, so neither of us were listed in episode 1.
There are, they started A, first name, not last
name. First
name,
A.
So I'm probably halfway through episode 6 or 7 with my M, Steve.
And Steve will probably be on episode 12 or 13.
So, Julie, did you attend the red carpet event?
No, I did not. I was there when Mike was kind of guiding and organizing the meetup here in Chicago, but I did not actually attend the premiere.
How about Courtney?
Yes.
Did you go to the red carpet?
I was there.
All right, so we've got Courtney. I know Michael Albright was there because he had set up an entire week-long event.
Yeah.
There was continuous events building up to this, even after the premiere.
I did, and Julie did the Down in Front show with me for the Revival League out of towners.
Nice.
And we also, I know Steve went, and Steve actually brought his son.
And I didn't have to pay because my roommate from college paid for my ticket for the red carpet event. So thank you, JD, one of our patrons for the show. And I still owe you a lot of thanks for that because that was an amazing evening. Meeting that the whole crew, meeting everybody, the puppeteers were there, and I got to talk to everybody.
So, JD, we're going to introduce you to Courtney, Michael, and Julie for next time.
Yeah, he wasn't able to make it for this panel because he was not able to get his stuff together in time because he had quite a week in New York.
So let's start off by telling us about the Experiment 1101.
The first episode of Season 11 of Mystery Science Theater. Michael, what's your first impression?
It's a perfect fit.
Uh-huh.
It was the... Do you want me to say it or do you want someone to say it? It was the Danish monster, Danish kaiju movie, Reptilicus.
Reptilicus is officially, we can say it now, loud and proud, the NDA is over. Reptilicus is episode number one for season 11.
And I would say it's probably the finest example
of Danish filmmaking?
Danish special effects. There's... Right up there with Lucasfilm.
I'm pretty sure those special effects were not Danish. I'm pretty sure that was a Japanese movie that they took pieces of and taped in with duct tape into this movie.
Yeah.
Only pagoda.
In
fact, I'm going to go ahead and say this. Watching Lucas and his dialogue, I think I think I know where he got his wooden dialogue. Sort of the
George
history
Lucas,
of it.
We talked about this on Too Much Scrolling this week. George Lucas did study a lot of 1950s, 1940s movies. And looking at these 50s and 60s movies that Mystery Science Theater uses and makes fun of, you do see a lot of that wooden dialogue. A lot of driving. There's a lot of driving in these movies.
Well, cars were still a novelty.
Right. It was still exciting that you have a car. Oh, very nice. Let's get to Reptilicus. Let's get to episode one. Michael, tell me about the theme song, the love theme for season 11.
They kind of packed the actual origin into it,
yes.
So it didn't get a full straight play like we normally would expect, but... It's the theme song.
It is.
The instrumentation's a bit different.
Mm-hmm. Rhythm's a little different.
Rhythm's a bit different. Obviously, they got to cram the name Jonah into what used to be a single syllable.
And the word yellow instead of red.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's the theme song. It's the right.
It is.
Yeah.
This is Mystery Science Theater 3000. A lot of people were nervous when they heard that they were going to be remaking a new version. That oh boy, the things that could go wrong. The theme is there. This is an episode of Mystery Science Theater. Ladies, what do you think about the theme song?
I love it. I mean, it's new, but it's familiar, and that's what I told Joel at the red carpet premiere when I met him. He asked me what my impressions were, and I'm like, you know what? The great thing about it is that he was the one running it this time, and I completely trusted him. Just knowing that he was there and in charge of it, I'm like, here's my money. You go ahead and reboot it. It's your baby. Go ahead. Show me what you got.
This is the best show we've ever had. So let's get to the robots. The robots are different. We've got different actors and different puppeteers.
And they actually present themselves just slightly different too, right?
They are slightly different characters, just like they always have been when they switched characters. Switched actors before. Mm-hmm. They are now different actors. Julie and Courtney, what's your first impression on our new Tom Servo and Crow T robot?
I have to make an admittance here. I was not able to watch 1101.
What?
You'll get to it later.
You guys, I'm loving listening to you talk about it though, because it's washing over me, and I'm getting very excited about actually watching it. So I'm gonna have to watch it, and I'm looking forward to it. But I just want to hear everything that you guys have to say because it's like awesome gossip.
Awesome gossip. Too Fair much enough. Scrolling.
That's right. That's right. Tell us more about Joel.
All right, so Courtney.
I think they're both hilarious.
Yeah.
And I knew Baron from, because I watch Grace and Frankie also on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing him on there, I was like, wow, that's the same guy. I thought he was great.
The black guy who was raised Jewish.
Yeah, okay. That's his character. No, he is very, very funny. I'm excited to hear that. Thanks for the awesome gossip.
Anytime. That's what we're here for.
That's going to be a new section of our show. It's going to be just called Awesome Gossip.
Can they have that, Julie?
Yeah, they can. But I want you to know that I'm going to keep this for myself. Awesome Goss.
Nice. We can use awesome gossip, just not awesome goss.
Gotcha. Michael, what's your first impression of the robots?
Watching the episode, I would say the new articulation is interesting, since considering how much they made of it when they were making the show before. They called out, "Your arms don't work,"
right,
frequently, and so now both of them have moving limbs.
Functional limbs.
I don't have a problem with anything I've seen. The only thing, like, I wasn't completely 100% on board with was, and we saw this one in the trailer, was Tom Servo actually hovers now. Like, he moves independently and can interact with parts of the screen, that like the top of the screen, instead of just characters towards the bottom like they used to.
It's 2017, Mike.
And that's
and I'm, like I said, just not completely, not 100%. I don't know where I am on that. I'm not raging against it, but I'm not like, oh, that's perfect.
The future is
the
now.
The new Tom Servo is going to have to prove himself to you.
No, just the flying. Baron is hilarious.
Hey, R2 Tom Servo's new voice.
R2-D2 can fly. I mean, this Tom Servo can too.
You know, and that was also an addition without any warning.
Right.
But no, Baron himself is great. I did get to talk to him and Hampton at the premiere, and they. What I loved about that really is that they are both fans of the show. Mm-hmm. I mean, so is Jonah. I didn't get to talk to Jonah as much because he was busy taking pictures, but they are both.
He's become very popular.
Like when I walked up to both of them, they were talking with other people about earlier Mystery Science episodes like this. Oh no, I loved Mitchell. I love when this happens in Mitchell, and just that right there is like the show is in good hands.
You can tell that it's a show of love. I mean, they respect the material. They respect before. It's very similar to, as Joel talked about, a Saturday Night Live cast.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The latest version, they have a lot of reverence for the past version.
And it's worth mentioning, Hampton did a show. He did some stand up a few days after the premiere. Mm-hmm. And he's inspired by this. Like, it shows up in his comedy. You can kind of feel, like, as someone who was also, I don't know, broken by Mystery Science, let's say, because he talks like somebody who spent a lot of time with it.
Courtney, what do you feel about Kinga Forrester, the new mad scientist played by Felicia Day?
I love her, and I think it's because she's so charming and so evil, and that's the same way that I saw the Mads in the original. And it's like, you know what? I get it. I get what you're trying to do. You're, you know, kind of selfish. That's great. But I love her, and I love Felicia Day, and I love the character so far. I can't wait to see, you know, more of it. How mad can she really be?
She, of course, betrayed the character she played on The Guild by taking this role. Total deception there.
Michael, you a fan of Felicia Day and what she's going to pull off with the mad scientist?
I like Felicia. I got to meet her when she came through town like a year ago promoting her book. And I had reached out to her on Twitter. I love that she's accessible and likes to talk to her fans, mm-hmm, even before all this. I think her character is just... I think she's a great goof. The mildly threatening mad scientist, that's a staple of the show. Yep. I think she hits it in a new direction that I like. Actually, when they did the Kickstarter video where they introduced her as the mad scientist, she hinted, and I kind of hope that they go this direction, at the idea that this particular mad scientist has a crush on her subject.
Oh, that'll be very interesting.
And we probably should mention the mad scientist is the bad guy in this show.
Yeah, yeah.
Bad guy.
The bad guy.
Or bad girl in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Bad person.
Bad
That's
person.
Kind of a strong
Julie, what do you think about TV's son of TV's Frank, Patton Oswalt, being in the show?
That is the detail that I am most excited about. I adore his work, not only as a stand-up comedian and writer, but also just his entire Twitter life. I think he's incredibly gifted and very funny. And it's not a surprise to me that he is a fan of Mystery Science Theater 3000 because, you know, he wears his geek cred on his sleeve.
Yes.
So it's very cool to see somebody who's achieved this kind of success be on board. So I'm very excited. I think that his inclusion is going to bring a lot of people to fandom, to watching it.
He makes a mean Ratatouille.
Yes, he does.
Oh boy. All right. So let's get down to some of the things that are different, that maybe are too different for the real diehard fans of Mystery Science Theater. Michael, what do you think about Moon 13 as the base? Is that different? Is that going to bother you?
It's not going to bother me personally. I was on board when they changed I think I actually liked it more than the cast did when in season 8 they had to have a narrative where they were being chased through space. I think it gives the writers just something new to play with, which basically, as far as they're concerned, or as far as they were concerned, as long as it didn't have to be narrative format, like flow from one episode to the next, it was just something for a new toy. And as far as this goes, I mean, this is the issue of branding is like central to the plot now, which is absolutely a new angle, and I'm interested in seeing where it goes.
What about the boneheads? Where do the boneheads fit into all this? Courtney, do you have any idea where we're going to go with episode 2?
No idea where we're going to go, but I absolutely love the boneheads.
Why? What is intriguing about
interstitial music? I don't know. It's using them to tie in the original show to the series, I think, might be where we go with them.
Okay.
So for our listeners,
I just think it's really
the
useful.
The boneheads are the minions of this evil scientist.
Okay.
In the previous show, there was the evil scientist and the one single henchman. It was Josh Weinstein first, and then it was Frank Conniff, and then Pearl had two two knuckleheads traveling with her.
Right.
They weren't really henchmen. They were just knuckleheads. So the boneheads are a whole new breed of thing. I think we're going to find some backstory there in the future, maybe.
They remind me of the mole people that they had in the first couple seasons.
And, okay. They also remind me of a certain dead man in an astronaut suit who says, who turned out the lights. So it's a little Doctor Who reference
Fair
in
enough.
My head.
Possible.
And of course, we all got that. Thank you.
Yeah. I explained it. Let's get back to the geek cred section, and let me explain about Doctor Who for you. Doctor Who starts tomorrow, Saturday, by the way. What about the new Satellite of Love? Michael, what is your feeling on the new redesigned HD, really cool lighting Satellite of Love?
The backdrop looks really good. I think we saw a lot of that as the people from the premieres posted their pictures with members of the cast.
Yes.
And I think it's got a really good aesthetic to it. The entirety of the ship itself, I know we saw a design during the Kickstarter campaign, but I didn't really see much of it in this episode.
What about that hallway? Do you like the hallway leading to the theater?
The hallway's a blast.
The hallway is amazing.
The hallway is always one of the fun things about a new season or the movie, which, you know, it's like every time they get a new venue or something, they change it.
They could play with that as much as they can.
And that's the hallways where they count down the numbers. Right,
right, to get into the theater is the hallway leading from the bridge to the theater.
You know, while we're talking about the hallway, I was so excited just to see it every time they would put it up there because I just wanted to keep looking around.
Right.
I don't know why I thought detailed. If I turned my head, I can like look down the other side of the hallway and see what's there. Yeah, the details there are great. I loved it.
Maybe for the next season, they'll put out a VR simulation.
Oh, there's your million-dollar idea. I will back your Kickstarter right now.
All right. I'm on board.
Wow. That is mind-blowing. So are you... is everybody okay with the idea that we're in the 21st century, we've got all this technology, we've got high definition picture and sound coming from this little podunk TV show that started in Minneapolis.
I'm going to go ahead and say it's really helped these movies out quite a bit to see them still blurry, but you know, I guess in high definition.
High definitionally blurry.
Yeah, the movies themselves may not benefit too much, but the rest of the show.
Courtney, are you okay with high definition picture and sound?
Wasn't it so important in Reptilicus just to see those special effects in HD? It made all the difference.
As it spewed the green slime, you could just imagine it right there.
It's raining tar.
You can't do that on television.
Is that real red blood?
No, it's Smucker's Raspberry Preserves. I love the use of all those old jokes.
The callbacks are a necessity, honestly.
I really am okay with all those old jokes being reused because there's a certain nostalgia to hearing those robots say those things.
Well, that's kind of what a joke is the repetition of it. It's not funny the first time. Just ask my wife. It's the 10,000th time.
I think there's a rule of comedy that covers the 10,000th time, Chip. All right, so let's go around the horn. Tell me, are you going to binge watch 14 episodes of the new Mystery Science Theater today, tomorrow, Sunday? Is this your weekend, Michael Albright?
No, I frankly don't have time. I'm busy with Down in Front, my own riffing show, and that means I'm watching my own movies over and over again so that we can write our jokes to put over it. So I only really have time for one a week, maybe.
Courtney.
I know Netflix is good at putting things up for people to binge watch. I just don't think that Mystery Science Theater is that type of show. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I'm going to try and force it. I don't even do it with all the episodes that I do have. I'll probably take it one episode every 2-3 days, maybe.
Julie.
I agree with Courtney. I don't think that Mystery Science Theater 3000 is necessarily a show that's built for binge watching. You know, there's not like the ongoing narrative with like cliffhangers, and it's not Breaking Bad is what I'm saying.
Wait, are you saying it's not the House of Cards of
yes,
of old bad
it's
movies?
It's not The Americans. So I will definitely watch it when it goes up, but I will probably be more like what Courtney or Michael said, like maybe 2 or 3 episodes a week.
Steve, are you binge watching this?
I will start watching this as soon as I can. I don't have school today, so I am going to start watching these until Saturday around 5 o'clock when a certain Doctor Who is going to be on, and I'll stop my MST3K watching for that, and then I'll probably come back to it because I don't have school Friday or Saturday or Sunday or Monday. I've got a lot of time to watch bad movies.
All right.
Mm-hmm. What I will do, though, is I will hold off on the Christmas episode. That is, I believe, the 13th episode of the 14, and I'm going to hold off on that one till December. I think that makes sense.
Sensible.
When he says December, what he means is Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it'll probably be October.
Actually, it may wind up in the Turkey Day Marathon.
Right. A little.
They always end with a Christmas episode. Or they usually do.
Well, that's something to look forward to.
Oh, there you go.
I'm so excited about this. This is so great to have this show back. It's so great to have all of you here to talk about it. It's an amazing world we live in.
A warm and fuzzy feeling.
It is.
Steve's been waiting for this for, I don't know, 10, 12 years, 15 years?
How long has it been since...
18.
It's been 18 years since the last new episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yes.
And you have seen every episode?
I believe that I have. Every once in a while, I get one on my TV, and I go, I'm not sure that I've ever seen this. Mm-hmm. But I think I've seen at least pieces of every episode.
And Michael?
I have not. I watched a lot of them.
What?
I know. Well, basically, I hit a point where I watched all of them that I had several times over, and I didn't have access to the ones that I didn't have on tape. And then when they all dropped on, I think it was the Digital Archive Project, which later went up on YouTube, I would try watching a new one, and because I hadn't already watched it 100 times on videotape, it didn't feel as familiar. Mm-hmm. And so my tradition had just basically been, I'll put it on, I'll do something else, I'll fall asleep. And I can't do that with a new one. So... Yeah.
Because you have to pay attention.
Because I have to pay attention. So, so what I try to do is I try to sprinkle episodes I have not seen into the Mystery Science group to screen, so that I can at least have an occasion to sit and watch this new episode. Unfortunately, it's the popular episodes that I've seen, so getting those less popular ones in kind of calls for, I need to I'm going to risk a smaller turnout.
This is Mystery Science Theater Chicago Deep Tracks.
Right. Oh yeah, there's planning. Basically, I can't afford to be above pandering.
Oh, absolutely. You need to get people into these meetings.
Right. Exactly.
Let's start there. Michael, you run a riffing troupe here in Chicago called Down in Front. Where can our listeners find more information about Down in Front?
We have a website, Down in Front Live. We're on Twitter and Facebook at Down in Front Live, and facebook.com/downinfrontlive. And the website's downinfrontlive.com. And
you've got a show coming up on Thursday.
We have two shows coming up in April. On the 12th, actually, it's going to be Wednesday, we'll be doing the movie Empire Records.
Oh,
probably a classic. That's a classic
there. That's pretty close to a classic.
If I'm a classic, it's a classic.
Sure.
Wouldn't you like to be a classic too?
I was in the audience in the target demographic, and I saw it in theaters when it was new, which means I'm turning 40 this year.
Oh,
so. Well, here's the interesting news. I actually have friends who are in that movie.
Wow.
Oh, do you?
I do. So when you see the dance scene in the record store?
Oh, sure.
They're all in that back. It was filmed down in
North Carolina.
Yes, it was.
The center of the universe.
I just want to let you know that.
Wow.
And then on April 20th, we'll be doing Reefer Madness at the Elbow Room.
That's a cautionary tale, I think.
It is a morality play, absolutely. And it's exactly what people who don't smoke marijuana think smoking marijuana is like.
Which is true, and we should just go ahead and point that out.
And a lot of people giggling at the movie is certainly a part of that experience.
I'm not going to encourage or discourage any particular behavior of the people who come to watch us do it.
Whatever you do, do it outside.
And then the MSD3K Chicago meetup group, you get together on Tuesdays?
It depends right now. It is going to be on a Tuesday this month. We may have secured a new venue, the Atlantic, and they've got a nice little room that they've been letting us do it at. And so we'll be doing, what are we going to be doing this
Final
month?
Sacrifice.
Final Sacrifice.
Rostower.
And
Zap rap. Rostower.
So we'll be doing that on the 25th.
That's a great one. Mm. Julie, how can our listeners find out more about Julie, and what do you do?
Let me do this. Julie Starbird, tell us more.
Thank you. Felt really good about that. first of all, ditto to everything Michael said about Down in Front. I will be riffing Empire Records with him, so come on down to at North Bar and watch us destroy the 90s. A friend of mine, Allison, who is a television critic who works for The Onion and Consequence of Sound and all sorts of other websites, we do a podcast called The Podlander Drunk Cast, which is essentially what it says. We watch the show Outlander, and then we talk about it while we drink.
Nice.
Excellent choice.
That's good times.
It's pretty fun. Allison has read all of the books. I have read none, so she's the expert, and I'm just the Joe Schmo. And we talk it all about. So if anybody wants to check that out, we're on Twitter at PodlanderCast, and we're on Facebook at facebook.com/PodlanderCast. Also, if you want to check out my Twitter, I'm at Julie Starbee, JulieStarbee.
And Courtney, how can we find out more information about you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Courtney Adoet. Adoette. I'm also on twitch.tv. I stream while I play video games. It's kind of something that I do. Also at Courtney Adoet.
Nice.
And Steve, how can we follow you?
Well, everybody knows me, Chip.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
We have this little show called Too Much Scrolling. It's out every Tuesday at 6 o'clock in the morning. We have a movie of the week, a book of the week, and an app of the week. And if you are interested in talking about Doctor Who and Mystery Science Theater, then you are not Chip.
And if you are listening to this right now, you clearly needed to know all that.
So you can find us on our website, TooMuchScrolling.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can go to our news site, news.TooMuchScrolling.com, and find all the information you need to survive another week.
I don't know, Steve. Can we come back next week?
This is so confusing to have you host the show. Why don't you ask me? You ask me.
Steve, can we come back next week?
I don't know. Do we have enough information to survive another week, Chip?
Only if we can come back next week.
See, it doesn't work with him hosting. This is the one and only time I'm going to allow him to be the host of this show.
Lesson learned.
So I want to thank all of our guests once again for coming in and talking Mystery Science Theater 3000 with us. Once again, don't call me this weekend. I will be watching TV. The phone will be off the hook. I want to thank our guests, Courtney Adewet, Michael Albright, Julie Cowden Starbird, and Chip, I want to thank you for coming in and talking this nerd stuff with us.
This is awesome. We'll see you on Tuesday.
Thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflum.
And that feels better when I do it first. We'll see you in the future.